Okay, gang, cut the gas. You're gonna flip your lids when you see the swell idea the nerds have come up with. Please pick up your tins. Now, you'll see that they're connected by string, and when you talk in that end, Polly, David over here can hear you. Isn't that the cat's pajamas? Don't be a wet rag now, Polly. Say hello.
Hello, Dave.
You see? No sweat.
Times have changed. So should your PBX. Get Virto from Vox Orion, a hosted IP PBX for your business that offers fantastic savings from 65 Rand per user per month. For more info, SMS your name to 45678.
And we'll call you.
Welcome to this special edition of Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by South Africa's technology news leader at techcentral.co.za. I'm Duncan McLeod and I'm here with Craig Wilson. How's it, Craig?
Hi, Duncan.
So we were unusually gathering on a Saturday to record this podcast.
Indeed, at least it's a lovely hot summery one.
Yeah, nice afternoon. But the reason we're doing this on a Saturday is I've just got back from Vodaworld, where I've had an interview or a roundtable discussion with the CEO of Nokia, Stephen Elop. And really, really interesting discussion it was. He's in South Africa at the moment. He's doing a bit of a whistle-stop tour around the continent. He's just flown in from Kenya. And Nokia is seeing the African market as a real potential growth engine for its new smartphone platforms.
Indeed. And of course, the new smartphones in question, the Lumia 800, has literally just hit the market. Only went on sale last week, was it?
Yes.
And what's interesting too is that, you know, they're pushing this very hard, and you know, the marketing, if you even all over the internet, and you know, I've seen a lot of talk of campaigns around Europe. They really are trying to get this into the sort of minds of consumers. But you know, for the African market, it's really the other range, the range of sort of feature phones that probably have the most appeal in terms of the widest market.
Those the Asha based ones.
Exactly. Yeah, the Asha series is really, really well suited to the South African and African market generally. But yep. We'll see how the Lumia does. We've had quite a chance to play with it. You played with the 800 quite extensively last week.
I must say I really enjoy it. I think it's a platform under development, and Stephen Elop said as much during the session this morning. It's a really good platform, and it's very different to everything else is out there. It's certainly very different to what we experience with iOS from Apple and Android from Google.
And I think that's the biggest appeal is that it hasn't tried to mimic them. You know, the problem is, in essence, there are a lot of similarities, but I think that's just the nature of the device. You know, there are certain ways that you want to operate a smartphone and certain functions that you want to do, regardless of which operating system is running it. And in that sense, there are always going to be overlaps.
Yes.
But I like the simplicity of it. I feel like it's pared down, and it is a nice change. It doesn't feel, as you said, like Android or iOS, but it's also fairly intuitive. I found the learning curve wasn't particularly steep.
Yeah, I think it takes a little bit of time because of how radically different it is, but it's also an easy interface to learn and to use, and I'm quite enjoying it. Craig, you're a little critical of the fact that these live tiles, you know, it's a real tile based interface. You're a little critical of the fact that they don't offer enough interactivity through those tiles.
And I just feel that they could push a little bit more sort of dynamic content to them. I can see the potential, and as we said, it's coming back to that idea of a platform under development. I think, you know, in a year's time, and particularly once they make the move to sort of Windows 8 and we start seeing that...
Windows Phone 8, yeah, that's going to be...
sort of on more and more devices, then I think they're really going to harness the potential of it. I just feel at the moment that in some senses, you know, some of them, the weather ones and so on, and the email one, you know, sort of tells you how many mails you have unread and that sort of thing. But I just feel that at the moment, the tiles in use, to me, often feel like oversized icons. I like the fact that they're so easy to navigate and that you can shift them around and that sort of thing. But I feel like they've got a little way to go before I'll be completely sold on them.
Mm. You made some really interesting... we're not going to waffle on forever. I know you all want to listen to the Stephen Elop interview and not myself and Craig. But he made some really interesting comments as well around a potential Nokia tablet. He didn't say that was one coming, but he hinted strongly that a Windows 8-based Nokia tablet may be in the works.
So. Sure. I mean, we know that it has to be.
Yes. Right?
There's no doubt that Nokia wants a slice of the tablet pie, and Microsoft certainly wants to get into the tablet market as soon as possible. But I also have a bit of admiration for them for holding back, in a sense. I think, you know, when I was at Nokia World in October last year, I managed to corner one of the Nokia Europe execs, and we obviously asked the tablet question. And she said rather tellingly that they wanted to make sure they got it right. They just suggested, she said, you know, this is not the sort of thing you rush to market, because you've got to be, you know, frankly, it's got to be really good if it's going to compete with the iPad and the likes of Samsung's Galaxy. So
it sounds like the Nokia person you spoke to was also having a polite, or perhaps not so polite, dig at RIM and the Playbook, which was rushed to market.
Absolutely. There was no doubt that's exactly what it was aimed at. But it's quite right. You know, she had a point. And if you're going to do it, they've really got to make sure that it's very, very tidy and very, very appealing when they do it. And obviously, they're going to wait for the next iteration of Windows before they before they do that.
Anyway, let's get across to that Stephen Elop interview. It was a roundtable discussion. It was myself from Tech Central representing Tech Central, as well as Arthur Goldstuck from the managing director of Worldwide Works, and also on the panel were Hilton Tarrant from MoneyWeb, Simon Dingle from our sister podcast, The ZA Tech Show, and last but not least, Aki Anastasiou from Talk Radio 702. So I hope you enjoy the interview. As always, if you've got any feedback on the show, you can send us an email to info@techcentral.co.za, or you can leave a post on the website for this entry. From Craig and myself, we'll be back to our regular programming from next week. Cheers.
It's February 11th, 2012. It's exactly 1 year, almost to the hour right now, that we stood on stage in London a year ago and said, we're changing our strategy. We talked about our new smartphone strategy, including our partnership with Microsoft. We talked about the investments we're making in the mobile phone segment, the lower price tier devices. And here in Africa, you see some of the early examples of that with dual SIM products, with the Asha line of products just being introduced. And so a year later, it's good to be here to talk about the progress we're making. Coming into this Vodacom facility, you might have noticed that Lumia is being launched. It was, you know, that's not just because I'm here. It's like what we're doing and what we're doing all around the world. And so it's really a remarkable time for us as we go through this period. That being said, it's a hard period, right? We're going through a lot of changes, having to do the things necessary to turn the company in a better direction. But we're making progress. So it's good to be here 1 year on from that. So I'll just pause there, and we'll use all the time for questions.
Should cut.
Great. Shall I kick off?
Please.
Great. You say it's been a year since the London event, and a bit longer since you penned the now famous Burning Platform memo.
Yes.
Where would you say Nokia is now? Is it, if it's no longer on that Burning Platform, where is it exactly?
Let me describe for you the analogy I just recently used with the employees of Nokia. Because, of course, as we go through the 1 year, actually as we launch the Lumia products, I wanted to set a different tone. There is a story, happens to be a Finnish story, of a man by the name of Lasse Virran. Lasse Virran was a policeman, and back in the late 60s and early 70s, he decided that he wanted to be a long-distance runner and to compete on the international stage. And in the 1972 Olympics, he made it into the gold medal round of the 400.
I'm not going to be able to tell you, Steve.
Which 10,000 meter race, the 10,000, so the long haul race. And everyone was surprised that he had made it to this race. You know, it was one of those improbable circumstances where he just very rapidly moved up through the international rankings. He got on the racetrack, the gun's shot, he runs off, and early on in the race, he gets tangled with another runner, and they fall down into the grass. And they fell. And of course, the analogy is Nokia. We tripped and we fell. But here's the remarkable thing, is he was a relatively new runner, and I maybe didn't fully realize that once you fall down in an Olympic race, you're toast. But he got back up on the track and he started to run again. So the analogy I've used with the employees of Nokia is, we're back on the track and we're running again, and we're going in the right direction. Of course, the end of the Lasse Virran story is not only did he win the gold medal in that race after he had fallen, but he set a world record in the process. A staggering story. It was just one of those, you know, things that if the unfortunate events of the 72 Olympics hadn't happened, is probably the story that would have been remembered, because it was just so remarkable. So where are we? We're on the track. We're running hard. We still have a ways to go.
The average price of smartphones that Nokia sold last year, and the feature phones, the average price has dropped around about 10 euros per device. Mm-hmm. Obviously the prices, and you know, the trends are pushing the handset prices down. Mm-hmm. A lot of competition from your Chinese manufacturers. Is that a bit of a concern for you? What is Nokia doing to address that slide in profit?
Yeah, so it's correct. Really, when you see that type of price shift, it's a statement of the competitiveness and what we need to do from a product perspective. So, for example, in the smartphone segment, a critical reason for us changing our strategy was to say we needed to introduce new devices that were more competitive, that could attract, you know, premium prices, higher gross margins, and so forth. And that's precisely what we're doing. So, for example, the Lumia 800, you know, is at a price point and with margins that will help us to move the average price points, you know, in a different direction. Now, that being said, it is always the case and will continue to be the case that Moore's Law and competition drives prices down. So our challenge, of course, consistently is not only to make sure that we're competing at those lower price points, but that we're adding more value on top. So to give you the African example and some of what we engage in here on the continent, when people buy, for example, I was in Kenya the other day, when they buy a Nokia device at some of the lowest price points, part of the promise they're buying is not just the device, but also the whole experience that's delivered with that, including in some countries in Africa, healthcare services, in other countries, agricultural services, different things that round out that experience. So to compete effectively, you've got to be good on the price of the device and so forth, but your brand and the value proposition has to stand out from the others, and we're very focused on doing that.
Is that one of the reasons why so many jobs have been cut in the Eastern European countries, and you're shifting to manufacturing that is cheaper?
No, actually, the principal reason for the change in the factory structure that we announced over the last week is proximity. What's happened in the whole mobile industry and many other technology industries is the vast majority of critical suppliers of displays, of chips, of everything that goes into these devices, the suppliers are all in Asia, you know, by and large. And so having assembly factories all the way in Europe, when, by the way, many of our consumers are back in Asia. So imagine the components are flown to Hungary or flown to Finland, a device is assembled, and then the device is flown back to China or wherever. You know, there's clearly some inefficiency there. So this is really a recognition of the shifting of the supply base for the industry.
Everyone's going to be asking about the African and South African market, but what I find most intriguing is Nokia's almost invisibility in the American market.
Mm-hmm.
What is the strategy to address that? That must be a pull.
Yes. So the American market, the North American market, is a very important market. If you look at historically what has happened in terms of innovation in and around the mobile sector, many years ago it was centered in Japan and Korea. Europe had a period of time where with the advent of GSM and so forth, it's like, wow, there's a lot going on in Europe. But more recently, with some of the development of these new ecosystems, innovation has been coming out of the US, you know, quite heavily. And therefore, it's critical for us to play well in the US and to have success there. That is very important. At the Consumer Electronics Show during the second week of January, we presented our first wave of plans for essentially our re-entrance to the US market. We announced that the Lumia 710, which is the lower price variant of the Lumia product portfolio, would immediately begin selling at the T-Mobile stores and various retailers throughout the US. That's been underway just for a few weeks now, and we are very encouraged by the results. And so it's like people are in stores buying Lumia 710s. You know, we're making good progress with that, so we're pleased. We also announced, a tip to my home country of Canada, that the 800 and 710 would be made available through two of the Canadian operators and coming very soon to Canada. But the largest piece of news that we announced at the Consumer Electronics Show, if I reach in and pull out the right device from my pocket, there it is, was the introduction of our third Lumia product, the Lumia 900. The Lumia 900 we specifically designed for launch initially in the US. And what that means is, for example, the radio technology. In the United States, the two big operators, AT&T and Verizon, are competing on the basis of the speed of their network. They've both introduced LTE networks, so we've moved from 3G, past 3.5G to full 4G networks. So this is our first ever LTE device, so it uses LTE technology. Very large battery, front-facing camera, 4.3-inch screen. You know, taking the same design principles of the Lumia 800 and taking them up in size and scope for the 900. Now, to tell you a little bit about the story and the hope that this creates for us is, we introduced this at a press conference on the afternoon before the show got started. We were joined in a sign of support by Steve Ballmer from Microsoft and Ralph De La Vega, the CEO of AT&T, who is our exclusive go-to-market partner for this first LTE device. So a lot of support for it. We had an interesting phenomena, though, and that is during the course of the show, the word, the buzz, the press coverage, the reviewers started to get their hands on it, the first reviews were written and so forth, and it was a build. If you've ever been to the Consumer Electronics Show, it's not about smartphones, it's about everything that plugs in, projectors, cars, refrigerators, cell phones, you name it. Okay, so you saw the buzz. The buzz, but the moment that we're most proud of, for the first time in Nokia's history, winning the Best of Show Award. We've never accomplished that before with anything we've introduced in that marketplace. So in the months immediately ahead, it will begin selling at AT&T stores and other retailers with the AT&T brand. And so we're very hopeful. So as people look at Nokia coming into the U.S., it's like, okay, first progress with the 710, award-winning device about to land. Now, all of that being said, is it a hard, you know, battle? Do we have to, you know, reestablish the brand, win the hearts and minds? Of course. So it's, you know, we're going to be, you know, establishing the beachhead, a word I've been using a lot recently, and clawing our way forward. And that's okay. That's the challenge. But with great products and a good strategy, a good partner with Microsoft, we're going to make some progress.
You're listening to the special edition of the Talk Central podcast with Nokia CEO Stephen Elop. We need to break for a quick message from our sponsors. We'll be back right after this.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers, the internet, to put a man on the moon.
Ignition sequence start.
It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Blitzky and Son. Oh, hey there. Please hold while I transfer you.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's a swell new system. You call me and I transfer you. Hold on a tick. Chuck,
yeah.
Do me a solid and take this to Mr. Pete.
Sure thing.
Chuck, don't trip over. The cord.
Times have changed. So should your PBX. Get Virto from Vox Orion, a hosted IP PBX solution for your business that offers fantastic savings. Available from 65 Rand per user per month. For more info, SMS your name to 45678.
And we'll call you.
Welcome back to Talk Central, right back on with the Stephen Elop interview.
When we spoke last year, you made it clear that your initial focus would be to stimulate the growth of the ecosystem.
Yes.
Nokia now made itself a player. Where are you in terms of the Microsoft ecosystem? Mm-hmm. And is that very much still the focus for Nokia to contribute to the growing of the ecosystem? You liken it to raising the ocean.
Yeah.
Ships in the harbor would be raising
the water there. Yes, and that is exactly the continued focus. Our competitive dynamics, it's very much about, and here in South Africa, I know this, I'll shift into a South African version of this in a second, because South Africa is a very unique market for certain reasons. But we fundamentally look at the world as a war of three ecosystems, and our focus is on making sure that the Windows Phone ecosystem, with us being a major participant in that, that that is a primary competitor in that space. And so we are investing very heavily, whether it's in the contribution of location-based services for the use of the whole ecosystem, whether it's, and I just finished a meeting with a group of developers here in South Africa, you know, we are investing heavily, as is Microsoft, in the attraction of the developers and helping them transition to Windows Phone and helping to market their applications and so forth. And the progress we've made since February 11th a year ago is really, really good. There were 6,000 Windows Phone applications a year ago. At CES a few weeks ago, we announced that we had hit 50,000. It's well over 55,000. It's growing at an accelerating rate. So that sense of, is that flywheel beginning to go? Yes, it's beginning to go. And so we're very pleased with that. Part of the reason for that is because people see that we're not just doing a device and see how it goes with, you know, Lumia. It's like they're seeing, wow, there's more and more. And for those people who see some of the future plans, it's like, wow, this is, you know, we're really putting the muscle into it. You combine that with the recognition of the distribution capability of Nokia and the fact that we're getting into so many countries so quickly with these devices, and that is very attractive to developers. I mentioned South Africa. The dynamics are a little bit different in South Africa because there's another competitor that's quite strong in this country. But nonetheless, we still think it's fundamentally about the war of ecosystems and that that will come to bear here in South Africa as well.
We also discussed the propensity or likelihood of Nokia involving itself in other realms of that ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
You said at the time that unless there's a value proposition, something that Nokia could do differently,
mm-hmm.
It's not something that you thought thought would happen. Mm-hmm. Now that we know more about where the Microsoft ecosystem is headed in terms of Windows 8 and its ability to kind of appear on other devices, and are those sort of possibilities representing themselves as something that Nokia is taking seriously?
Yes. So just to put some more words around what you were asking or how you phrased it, Microsoft has shown in a couple of venues and quite a bit at CES their plans around Windows 8, so the big version of Windows. And what they essentially showed was that the standard user experience and also the convergence of development experiences over time is what you see here on the Lumia devices. They call this the Metro user experience, this idea that there are these tiles that are constantly presenting you with new and useful information, that it's a fluid and alive environment. That same user experience, or at least that experience on turbocharger, if you like, on a tablet, on a PC, on the Xbox gaming platform, will become the standard user experience across the Microsoft family of platforms. And so, to the benefit of Nokia, if you fast forward, let's say a year, we don't know when Windows 8 will ship, but there will be hundreds of millions of people who on a tablet, on a PC, on a gaming platform, in an automobile, wherever, they will be seeing this style of user experience. So when they walk into the Vodacom store downstairs and see that experience, it will instantly, you know, give them the promise of course, what we're doing, and that is, you know, a combined experience across all of the digital parts of someone's world. Now, from our perspective, clearly we knew this when we made the decision to go Windows Phone. We had an appreciation that it wouldn't be just us alone trying to introduce an entirely different point of view, that there would be a lot of energy and push, you know, more broadly against that. So that clearly something we couldn't say a year ago, but now it's like, oh, we get it now. They're clearly part of a much larger story. When we look at that, therefore, the opportunity to have a point of view that spans not just smartphones but other devices from Nokia is very apparent to us. It is definitely an opportunity for us. We've not announced specific plans in this space, so, but very clearly we look at that and say there's an opportunity there, and I think our consumers would look at that and say we can imagine Nokia doing some interesting things. And not just in, you know, the obvious spots, but there's a lot of digital experiences still to go. This is, you know, we're all just in the early stages of this, so there's an opportunity for us, for sure.
So can we see a Nokia tablet?
That's what we're not announcing today. We're not. We just keep highlighting the opportunity. You clearly look at that and realize that, you know, tablets have come into the mainstream. And you can see them here in this room, but that situation is still in the very early stages. I mean, you see some competitive tablets beginning to get started. But with what Microsoft is doing as it relates to the user experience, where whether it's on a PC, whether it's on a tablet, to have a unified experience that says, hey, here's a new point of view for tablets as well, I think that's really going to, you know, change the industry, broaden the opportunity. So we're very excited about that. If you have not seen the Windows 8 experience, take a look on YouTube. It will really affect your thinking about how the industry is going to evolve, because they have gone to a remarkable end in terms of the degree that they're changing their point of view and what they're presenting. This isn't, you know, a minor step. It's a fundamental shift in their approach to Windows, and that I think will be to all of our advantage.
Part of that consolidation was a new advertising platform. I remember you mentioning that Nokia and Microsoft would have shared ownership of. It's not something that we've kind of seen manifest yet. When can we expect to see that, and how significant is that revenue opportunity for Nokia? Mm-hmm.
So where you will see essentially new business opportunities evolving, this was in the context, and you've now seen some of the changes Nokia has introduced in our restructuring. The formation of this new unit called Location and Commerce.
Right.
Very deliberately done. And what you see forming there, without me getting too far ahead of ourselves, is that it's around the location-based strength of Nokia, which of course we're contributing to the Windows Phone ecosystem. It's part of the broader story. But the strength of this location-based platform is the essence and where those new revenue opportunities are presented. The revenue opportunities can come from different areas. They can come from advertising. They can come from the use of that platform by other people who don't want to use a competitive platform for location-based services for whatever their own competitive reasons are. Not everyone wants to contribute to, you know, the strength of Google. They may want a, you know, an alternative, and we're seeing a lot of those examples, you know, coming to the forefront. With the launch of Lumia 800 and 900, you saw what I would characterize as very early examples of how the location platform begins to land. But what we have shown more recently are examples of other things that will take advantage of that location-based platform. For example, we've shown public transport routing capabilities. I'm here, I want to get somewhere else, and I'm going to use public transport. Help me to do that. And tell me in real time when the next train is going to arrive or whatever. We've shown examples of augmented reality, where you hold up your device, you aim it in a certain direction, it tells me, hey, my friends are over there, there's a restaurant over there, here are the reviews, help me navigate. Oh, by the way, there's some advertising showing up suggesting that this pizza joint will give me, you know, a certain amount off, 10% off if I go to their facility, whatever. So you can see where those opportunities. So what I'm laying out here is the foundation of where you will see that, and you're going to see that more and more, because we believe fundamentally that the organization of information and the organization of people's mobile experience around the cardinality of location is one of the key ways that information is organized. Just to give you that higher perspective, if location is one of those ways, there are two others. One of them is around people and the social graph, right. For example, Facebook. And another is around topics, around a Google search term, for example. Information is organized that way. It's organized around people. It's also organized around location. And we're intending to play very aggressively in that space.
Just in terms of where this user experience is going, you've told us the story of where Microsoft is going and where the average consumer will be able to identify with all of these different things. Obviously, rival device makers who may not be playing very strongly with the Windows Phone operating system right now might look at it a lot more closely. I mean, what is going to differentiate Nokia devices 12 months from now, 18 months from now, where your options within that ecosystem are a lot broader?
So I think just what you said at the end helps with the answer. Our options within the ecosystem to differentiate are very broad. And so the way we think about this is there are certain elements of what we do. It could be in design, in hardware, in optics, photography, location-based services, and a variety of other things, entertainment, where we can step forward and say, boy, there's something unique. So for example, when we introduced the Lumia 900 in the US, part of that came with access to some exclusive content and relationships with ESPN, with CNN, with Univision, which is the Spanish language media house. So there are a number of examples of services that were unique. The location-based services, there's a lot will contribute to the platform, but there'll be certain, you know, next generation features that we'll initially reserve for ourselves. We also, historically at Nokia, have invested very heavily in the photographic and video experience, and this is something where you're just going to continue to see one step after another, real innovation in terms of capturing the experience. And I think mobility is a lot about that, and this is why location is important. Where were you? What was going on? What did you capture? How did that all hang together? And doing so in a way that is correct for the world. For example, this particular camera on the 900, the lens is specifically designed to let in far more light, to work in low light conditions, to focus faster. I mean, just things that we're doing that really set us apart. And so you'll see just a growing collection of examples of differentiated experiences delivered on this. Now, let me give you one balancing point of view. While we can do virtually anything we want to do on this platform, that's the nature of what we can do with Windows Phone, we'll be very careful that we don't disenfranchise the developers. So meeting with a group of developers, what they don't ever want to hear is, well, that application will only work on a Nokia Windows Phone. They want to know that it'll work on our competitors' Windows Phones, and that's okay. Back to the very first question you asked, Simon, which is the growth of the ecosystem is more important than battling it out in the context of Windows Phone.
You're obviously hoping that consumers take to Windows Phone in a very, very big way, but what if they don't? Does Nokia have a backup plan?
So the way I like to answer that, and I've said this before, is our plan B is to really focus on plan A. This type of approach, this type of change, is one that we know is going to take really hard work. And one of the things, and I've been in every session with every group of employees around the world, it's very much about learn and adjust. So we put these products into market, and we discover, wow, people love this, they love our mixed radio capability, they love what we're doing with navigation, but there's elements of it that, you know, we could do better. Learn, adjust, as consumers give us feedback about the things that are important to them and so forth, our job is to react, to improve those things and push through. So what these devices and the software and everything looks like over time will certainly evolve and change. So if there's problems or things aren't working out right, it will change. But we have the foundation of something upon which to build. Just an example of that, as we introduced some of our first devices, people said, hey, I'm worried about battery. We did some work to improve the battery situation. It's just like learn and adjust and keep going. And so it's not about making a sharp turn. It's about constantly refining and improving and being comfortable and taking that approach. And that's whether it's in the design and delivery of the devices, it's even downstairs. You notice the Lumia stuff. I want to know in detail which of these ads, which of this positioning, which message, what's working, what's not. Why is this salesperson selling a lot and this salesperson is not selling as much? Let's learn from that and continue to change. So you will see changes constantly. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it's not about restart with something. It's about changing and building on what we have.
One more question for the guys.
Can I very quickly ask you about the African market and the massive penetration of Symbian?
Mm-hmm.
And combined with that question, because it's actually a broader question, is the wild popularity of the N9 among those who've actually used it.
Mm-hmm.
The N9 users feel that they're being abandoned just as they fall in love with Nokia. Again, mm-hmm. The Symbian users swear by Nokia because they are so comfortable with that platform.
Mm-hmm.
How do you look after those two ends of the spectrum?
Yes. So actually, it's not two ends of the spectrum. It's actually a lot of commonality. What we've said, and for example, we said this when we launched the N9, that there were certain things that defined the N9, that made it what it is. One of those things is the industrial design, the physical design. And we said that's going to live on. And guess what? The 900, the 800, and then the 900, very clearly that industrial design lived on. In both Symbian and on the N9, Qt as a development platform is a critical element to people's ability to put applications on that platform and so forth. We have said publicly that Qt will live on. We haven't said precisely where and what device in what way, so there's obviously more news and more work ahead, but that's something that will become very apparent in the market in the months ahead. So that's another example. Something that makes the N9 also very unique is elements of its user experience, the swipe user interface. We've said that's going to live on. We haven't said how or precisely when, but you should expect to see that type of innovation live on in the products that we bring forward. I think it's worth taking a step back, and as it relates to the African market, there is a real smartphone market in Africa, but of course the vast majority of the sales, as you look at the emerging economies, are across that lower tier of the mobile phone segment. And there, and this is why we announced a year ago, the increased investment in those lower price tier devices, because of the opportunity to take a smarter phone experience to those consumers that does consume data, that does connect the next billion people to the internet. And this is a lot of the conversation with developers, government officials, and so forth that we've had here in Africa over the previous days. A lot of this relates to societal development. A lot of it's not just the device, but how can we help with healthcare? How can we help with agriculture and various other things? So that's a key part of our strategy as well. So to those users who have been loyal and who like the work that we've done, we listen very carefully to what actually really is interesting and what is actually driving that preference. And of course, we want to take those assets and take them forward as we go forward.
Cool.
Very good. Well, thank you for all of your interest and ongoing questions. I really enjoy it, and I've really enjoyed my time here in South Africa. So now the journey continues.